Photographer Gregory Crutzen's career has spanned three decades. His work has been exhibited widely in the United States and Europe and is included in many public collections, including the Museum of Modern Art, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, the Whitney Museum of American Art, the Brooklyn Museum, the Los Angeles County Museum, and the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. Crutzen's newest body of work is entitled Cathedral of the Pines. It makes its premiere at the Gagosian Gallery in New York City this Thursday. That's January 28th. It's comprised of 31 digital pigment prints. The series was made during three productions in and around the rural town of Beckett, Massachusetts, and it is very, very cool to have Gregory Crutzen in Studio A with us this morning to tell us about this project. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
We should note you live in an old church.
I do. I live in an old church. I recently moved there about 5 years ago from New York. As you know, I've always had a connection to the Berkshires. I've made pictures there, as you said, for many, many years, too many years to count. But I'm now count myself as a full-time resident.
So, in a way, are you the cathedral in the pines?
Wow. I think the pictures might be. I think that there is certainly the pictures, which were made over a period of 4 years, was in a very real sense a search for me, a search for some kind of sense of home and stability and some sense of, I think, possibility.
If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 52.
Okay. So don't you think, I'll be 49 this year. Mm-hmm. So it seems like you come to that point in your life, don't you, where you start to, because these are very intimate. Mm-hmm. They are very, very personal, private, that you come to a point of where you look for that, right?
I don't know if I looked for it. I think I had no choice. I think these pictures in particular were made out of very, as you say, kind of personal and very private motivations. I went through a very difficult divorce. I have two beautiful children, and I moved out of New York and into the church in an effort to try to ground myself and try to relocate myself in a certain way. And I honestly went through a period of not producing any work. I went through 2 years of trying to stabilize, I think, and try
Is
to
that
be
conscious or unconscious not to work?
I think, again, it wasn't a choice. It was just my circumstance. I was trying to be a good father and trying to set myself back on a path to creativity. I think all artists go through periods of difficulty, of periods of crisis, even. And I think this was a period for me.
Is it distressing not to be able to work or not wanting to work, or not having that choice?
It's, yeah. Well, you don't feel fully alive. You feel partially dead inside. And in response to that, I began taking these walks up the Appalachian Trail and I'm a long distance swimmer, so yeah. I was doing open water swims. This was all in Beckett. And I wasn't fully aware of it, but I think in retrospect, I was trying to sort of reconnect with something larger than myself. Over the winter months, I would cross country ski with my partner, Julianne, who's very involved in the making of the pictures. And deep in the woods in Beckett, in a pine forest, I came across a trail that was called Cathedral of the Pines. And that was a moment of revelation. That was a moment where I think for the first time in a very long time, I had clarity about what I was going to do next.
So you and a crew will come in and you create these scenes and these big forest scenes. And I have a bazillion questions for you, so I'm going to try to like just put them in some order. And so do you know going in that, okay, this is going to be a project that could go for 31 scenes, 31 shots that I'm going to do? Or does that just come out of, again, necessity?
Yeah, it's very open-ended. Despite the nature of my pictures, which are these large productions, I think at the center of it is something that's very organic and something that's not particularly conscious. I knew setting out that I want to make all the pictures in Beckett, which was a place that had a lot of meaning for me because it's where my family had a country house. And as I said before, I do my open water swims there. And so I was motivated by that. And I knew that I wanted to make pictures that sort of connected the figure to nature in some way. And I knew they would all be on location and either in interiors or exteriors. I had no idea that it would be 3 years in the making and there would be three separate productions. All that came later. It's just part of the working process.
When you say it came later, did you know during the first production that, okay, there's a point where you say, okay, there will be another one?
Yeah. Well, for me, I'm like, I'll work until like... you know, the production money runs out, which it did a long time ago. So, like, you know, I think partially because I went through a period where I wasn't working, I did feel like enormous ambition to make pictures that fully told what I thought was my story. And I knew that it wasn't complete until it was complete.
When you're setting a scene, how much of it is a story for you of what you're trying to tell? Does it have a beginning? Does it have a middle? Does it have an end?
Well, I think because I'm a photographer, I think almost exclusively in terms of still images. In that way, I don't really think about anything before or after. I want to fully invest in the single image, and I want that image to be as beautiful and mysterious as possible, and I want it to be a question. I want any sense of motivation or plot or to be left unresolved. Mm. So I honestly could tell you that in my pictures, I don't fully understand the meaning of them in terms of the psychological connections or disconnections. I'm just involved in trying to make a picture that's in my head come to the fruition.
So you have said that it was in the forest of Beckett that you felt this darkness that you had lived. Is we look at that as a depression.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I mean, in a certain way, I think it was like an artistic depression, maybe.
So not a clinical depression.
Right, but I'm not even quite sure about that. I think in some ways, I was like functioning, and there was a lot of stuff going on at the time. Like, I had different shows and books.
Right.
But all that's busy work, really. If you're not a working artist... then yes. I mean, I do think there's some kind of aspect of you that's dormant.
And I ask the question not to pry, yeah, but I ask the question as a way to say, when you create these scenes, are you reflecting on those moments of darkness or are you reflecting on your emergence from it?
I think both. I think that, like, if I were to hazard a guess about, like, the ultimate meanings of my pictures, which I'm, as I said, I don't have a full handle on it. I am interested in a kind of intersection between beauty and sadness. That's, I think, where my pictures reside. And I'm always, although there's a sense of isolation or disconnection in my pictures, I'm always hopeful that there is a possibility of transcendence, a possibility of connecting through the beauty, I think, or more precisely, light. Light is the key motivator in all my pictures.
In these particular, in the ones that I have seen, and I have not seen the all 31, but there's not a lot of sunlight.
There is a kind of sunlight. Yeah, right. True. Yes.
Okay.
I'll agree with that.
All right. So, meaning that there is a grayness to it, a beauty, but a grayness.
It's contained.
Yes.
The palette's very specific.
And that comes, so that sets a mood there.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a, I assume we're looking at the 19th century?
Yeah, I was very struck while I was going through this difficult period. I did happen to see a show at the Metropolitan, a painting show of 19th century painting. And it was called Rooms with a View. And it was a lot of interiors with figures where the window played a pivotal part of the narrative.
Right.
And that is definitely, I was definitely influenced by that and very keyed into this idea of like inside and outside. And I worked very, the entire crew worked a lot to try to find an aesthetic, particularly Rick Sands, my DP, my director of photography. And we settled on something for the interiors where the main light source would always come from the exterior in, and which is like a 19th century trope. But it does really make this, I think, beautiful connection between the interior and the exterior space. So if you look at all the work, and that is definitely a key motivation. And the other thing I wanted to do was, unlike my previous pictures, I believe, I wanted to make them very quiet in terms of the aesthetic approach. I didn't want to use lighting in any sort of artificial or stylized way. I wanted it to feel very just the light and color to be part of the world of the pictures. And I also wanted almost nothing happening in the pictures. So there's very little in terms of literal narrative. It's almost all kind of these moments of deep reflection and where there's very little specific storytelling.
Gregory Crutzen is our guest this morning. His newest body of work is entitled Cathedral of the Pines. It premieres at Gagosian Gallery on West 21st Street in New York City this Thursday, the 28th. You can find out more by going to gagosian.com, G-A-G-O-S-I-A-N. Do you want a relationship from one picture to the next?
I want the pictures all to feel like they're part of one larger world. So I feel like, particularly when I'm making the interiors and contrasting them with the exteriors, which is two very different ways of working, I want them to feel like they're part of the same world, the same sensibility. So there's no direct line in terms of a story. But I want them to feel unified in terms of a sensibility.
When you say production, this is a production. How many in a crew?
Well, in this case, part of my thinking was to try to make a smaller crew than typical and work in isolation and very sort of removed places. But we still had a crew of about 15.
Okay. And of that crew, the time that it's not specific. You have a, it takes the time that it takes.
Well, what we try to do, so in pre-production, I work hard to try to come up with like narratives for all the pictures and work with Julianne to write descriptions. And then by the time we're on location for about 4 weeks, we really try to make as many pictures as possible. Mm. It's the only way to do it, really. And then from those pictures we make, a percentage of them make it into the final final body of work. But I feel like we were, like, because we were a fairly small crew and because we were on locations and we weren't moving around a lot, we were very productive, much more productive than I have been in previous shoots, because we didn't really have to deal with, like, issues about revolving around neighborhoods or we didn't have to close down streets or any of that. Like, I really wanted the pictures to feel remote and separate, and I think that's what happened.
Do you feel that it says Beckett to you?
Well, Beckett, I mean, the reason I made pictures in Beckett was comes in, out of entirely personal reasons. And I always think of the place as a backdrop, a setting for my own particular narrative. So not necessarily in a documentary way, that Beckett is the, it's almost like a, becomes in my pictures a fictional location as opposed to an actual one. But in terms of personal meaning, it couldn't have been made anywhere else.
When I'm looking at an image now, which if people go to gugosian.com, and this is one of the things that I love slash hate about radio, is that obviously it's difficult to talk about a visual art form on the radio because not everyone is looking at it. However, it also gives us an opportunity for us to imagine what that is and to explain it the best to our ability. If you go to gugosian.com and look at the under upcoming and you see your work, one of the images that they show is the haircut. Mm. Explain a little bit about what is going on there and how that fits into and is sort of emblematic of the show as a whole.
Well, firstly, the most important part of that picture is that the subjects are my daughter Lily is sitting, and the standing figure is Harper, who's Julianne's daughter. So even that is a big change for me. I've never really photographed people I'm intimate with and who I love. And so that was a starting point. I then found that location. It was called Walker Island. It's a trailer park that was affected by the hurricane, so it was all in disarray. But it was just the end of a road in that vista. So I then imagined the little kind of hut and the outhouse weren't there. And so we built those things, and I just and then it's there's the so it's the literal activity of the haircut. But then if you notice, there's a tiny bird like sitting on a cart, yes, like a box. And to me, all of those things sort of function together to create what I was hoping to be a very evocative scene, with the light coming out of the outhouse illuminating the scene and the riverbank and the fog in the background. All of these things sort of add into something that tells the story.
And you had mentioned windows before, and there are windows in the cabin, the camp, but you actually don't see anything through that. You actually see it through the opening in the door that sees right through into the forest.
Yes. I think you see a little bit of something in there, like some clothes. But, I mean, there were a lot of, opportunities in these pictures. We would always try to make, we'd all call it light in a box. Like, no matter, whether it's an outhouse or a hut or Ice House, or that was one of the governing aesthetic decisions, was like to try to have the overall light be naturalistic, and but then put these like light sources in these you know, various kinds of makeshift homes. I think there is throughout these pictures a theme about home, a search for home.
Have you found it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think so. Like, yes, I would say I'm very happy now, and happy with this body of work, and very happy living in the Berkshires. I feel very connected to that place.
Do you feel that it will be easy for you, if that is your desire, to go to another place to do work?
It's actually not. I did the previous pictures to this I made in Rome. It was the first time I made a series of pictures outside of Berkshires, and I love those pictures, but I feel like this is my home. This is my aesthetic home. And, you know, there are photographers that are peripatetic. They move from place to place. And then there's photographers or artists or writers who are grounded in a specific place. And I feel like I'm one of those. Like, I'm an artist who works in a particular place. And in doing that, instead of going wider, you could go deeper. You could go deeper, darker, find sort of levels of complexity.
Gregory Crutzen's newest body of work is entitled Cathedral of the Pines. It will premiere at the Gagosian Gallery in New York City this Thursday, January 28th. You can find out more by going to Gagosian.com, G-A-G-O-S-I-A-N, Gagosian.com, at the gallery on West 21st Street. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. Great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you. I'm a big fan of the station.
Well, thank you very
much. I
listen
a lot when I'm location scouting.
Also, great honor to have you on the program.
Well, thank you.